We have 55 degrees in Roanoke and Salem, 52 in Danville, 55 in Lynchburg, 54 in Bedford, 53 in Appomattox. Now, read that text.
My buddy Jimmy checked in, says, hey, 6 months from tomorrow, great news. We can celebrate our birthday again.
Right.
Our wives can clean out the garage while we eat cake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's funny. And what's his name?
Jimmy.
That's funny, Jimmy, except Kara Lamb will 100% do it. And there will be nothing but like a little organized pile when she's done and a weeping friend at your feet. Yeah. So
there'll be a tear in my beer.
Careful what you ask for. You just might get it.
Oh, by the way, honey. Happy birthday.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to get diabetes this morning. You forgot this morning, man.
I forgot. I am no excuses, okay? But did you see the pollen? My wife was home yesterday, and the window, we only had it open 6 inches. Well, from the window to the stove is like 7 feet.
Right. There was pollen on the stove.
There was pollen on our stove yesterday.
I don't doubt
it. And the window was open for, you know, several hours, but still. Right. She goes, look, it looks like the hood of our cars.
Right.
And
there's a lot of pollen out there.
It is really in the air, and it's making my eyeballs a little puffy this morning. And that's why I woke up thinking about my puffy eyes and not my wife's birthday. Mm-hmm. Normally, it would be the first thing. Of course, we're sleeping in separate bedrooms.
Do you want another shovel? Or, I mean, could you just dig in and dig in and dig in? And you're just getting deeper.
I have to finish, and move on.
I
have to finish while we're sleeping in separate bedrooms because she got what I had last week. So we want to make sure, you know, it runs its course. I'm feeling better. She's coming out of it. Actually, she's feeling better today, but she felt better yesterday. But we're just going to a couple more days.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have just...
I'd almost guarantee it tonight. Anyway, moving on. I would recommend a...
I'm done. Poke me with a fork.
I'm done. So is Jordan Peterson. I don't know if you all are familiar with his work. He is a Canadian psychologist, a best-selling author. His talks are amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
my kids love him.
Mm-hmm.
And he is departing from Twitter after finding an endless flood of vicious insult on the platform, not necessarily directed at him even. He said, I recently stopped assessing Twitter for 3 weeks just as an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I had some of my staff post video links, etc. It was a genuine relief. I started to read and write more. I started using it again a few days ago, and I would say that my life got worse again almost instantly. The endless flood of vicious insult is not something that can be experienced anywhere else. I like to follow people I know, but the incentive structure of the platform makes it intrinsically, dangerously insane. So... he's deciding to leave for good. I told my staff to change my password, keep me from temptation, and I'm departing. If I have something to say, I'll write an article or make a video. If the issue is not important enough to justify that, then perhaps it would be best just to let it go. He also teased a forthcoming article on the technical reasons that Twitter is maddening us all very soon. Peterson, who taught psychology at the University of Toronto, rose to prominence after releasing a series of YouTube videos criticizing Canada's Bill C-16, which barred discrimination on the basis of gender identity and expression. Peterson argued that the bill would make us use certain gender pronouns, compelled speech, and tied this move to political correctness and identity politics.
Boy, was he right.
Oh, yeah. His lectures and conversations garnered millions of views on YouTube. By 2018, he put his clinical practice and teaching duties on hold, publishing the 12 Rules for Life and Antidote to Chaos, highly recommended. After health struggles throughout 2019 and 2020, he pushed his third book beyond order, 12 More Rules for Life, and resigned from the University of Toronto and returned to podcasting. Critics condemn him as pro-patriarchal.
Of course.
Yes.
Yes.
He said, I was
mostly they and them, but go ahead.
Peterson responded to a YouTube video entitled Jordan Peterson Weeps Over Climate Activism. I was speaking of the unacceptable demoralization of young people. I've seen it all over the world. And this cynical dismissal is all you can muster, he said. How utterly pathetic. How do you think endless apocalyptic catastrophic effects this has on our children? Because if they get a steady diet of that all the time,
if it's
always, how dare you taking my childhood and my innocence, you know, if that's all there is, it's going to impact them mentally. Yeah,
look at the steady diet that this young man, 18-year-old, took in and then went to Boston to act it out. To act it out. I mean, yeah, they said, you know, Tucker's taking a lot of heat because he says it's no manifesto. It's just a bunch of copy and paste of a bunch of other websites and memes and this, that, and the other. And it makes no sense. He even has an opposing views within his 180-page manifesto against himself.
Right.
You know, so it's...
Well, he's obviously unwell.
Yeah, he's unwell. Absolutely. And we're not talking about Tucker. We're talking about the young man. Mm-hmm. Some people would say Tucker is very unwell.
Of course they would.
They hate him.
If he doesn't agree with what they say, and he's too powerful, and too many people listen to him.
Yeah.
And it's the same pushback that Jordan Peterson gets.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You don't agree with what we're saying. You're not a part of the, agenda.
Right. You have to destroy me then.
Right.
You have to demonize me.
He's got it pretty together.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I'm glad he's taking a stand because that'll mean a lot to a lot of people, and we'll see what happens.
So I mean, apparently, he will still occasionally have things that he'll put up, but he's not going to be actively
right. Well, if he asked his staff to change the password, that means he's keeping his...
He can't have it.
He can't access it, but they could still maybe put stuff up. But so, okay, so we've been talking a lot. Seeing the phone lit up here a minute ago. Been talking a lot about Pack Rat, and looks like we got a...
Do we have a Pack
Rat? We have another Packer on the...
Okay. Wow.
Line. Good morning here on the Morning Jam.
Hey, Danny Mark, it's salty.
Well, hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning. Oh, Lordy be.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know how to contain myself this morning, Janet.
Why's that?
You better try.
Well, it's because it's Pack Rat Day.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Are you a Pack Rat?
Yeah.
Well, I've been known to keep a thing or two, Janet. You never know when you're going to need it.
Oh, Lord.
You are so right, Salty.
Yeah, see, this is where you two are bonding.
Right. And darn right.
What's that?
This is where you two are bonding, because Mark is also a Pack Rat.
I am absolutely one. It's good to know that I'm in good company.
Well, how about that? Something you and I can agree on, Mark.
That's true.
I know. That's kind of a good thing. But now, I will tell you, Mark's wife is not too crazy about his Pack Rat tendencies. No. How about Miss Salty?
Well, I'll tell you what. Miss Salty, she don't like it until I just walk up to the shop and pull something like a rabbit out of my hat and go down and pick something at the house.
Yep.
Then she's all over it.
Oh, okay.
That's all what right. I'm talking about.
So she doesn't try to get you to get rid of stuff?
Oh, sure, all the time. Well, I've shared the stories about me getting down there at the Goodwill and finding the T-shirt that I lost 6 months ago, and here I am buying it back for $1.50.
Yeah. Good night.
So Miss Salty thinks you might be a hoarder.
We're both living the dream, or the nightmare.
Well, I don't know about that all that hoarding stuff. It's all in the eye of the beholder, I reckon. But I got to tell you, you want to get on Salty's good side, you do like Delmont did here the other week, Janet. There's nothing like getting a preview of a garage sale.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
He gave you first pick, huh?
Yeah, what a friend.
They call you in early, and you get the first pick of everything.
Yep.
And I tell you what, when old Delmont called me, I was happier than a hobo on a Happy Meal.
I'll bet so. I'll bet you were.
That's right.
You know, Salty, part of the problem is people don't realize what kind of treasures you're keeping in your basement and in your garage. You know what I'm saying?
Well, dang right, they're treasures. They're treasures to be discovered every day.
Nah.
There, Mark. You know, I'm just waiting for that phone call. you know, from Mike Wolf from American Pickers.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
So Miss Salty thinks you're a hoarder, but you think you're a picker.
Mm.
Got it.
Oh, I'm a picker. I'm a gold mine looking for a place to happen, Janet. You know, and the show ain't been as good as it used to since Frank left, but I'll take whoever I can get.
Right. I hear you. Well, I've heard that there's a new trend. Mark was telling me about a new trend embracing more clutter.
Oh, yeah. What's the name of it? I'll go out and get the T-shirt.
A maximalism. Yeah, I keep junk, in other words. A maximalist.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember one time going out and get that magazine, that Maxim magazine, Miss Salty. She won't too happy.
Yeah, I don't think that's the same thing at all. There's not a whole lot of maximum anything going on in that, except skin.
But it's sure short on clothes, yep. If you know what I'm saying, Mark.
Not what I'm talking about.
Oh, goodness.
But anyways, I won't go down that rabbit hole. Salty, you get in trouble again.
No.
That's right. But hey, look. Y'all have like really bonded over this whole National Pack Rat Day.
I guess you could say so.
Well, we sure have, Mark. Maybe you and I can go out and have lunch and compare notes.
Well, I'm open to that. Are you buying? Can Janet come?
Oh, wow.
No, Janet's not invited.
Aw. Well, I don't embrace it like you guys do, so I'll just let you all be best friends. How about that?
That sounds like an idea.
Well, we're just you was talking about Mitchell's the other day. Mark, I had some of them potato wedges. Maybe we can go down to Peebo's and get us potato wedges and talk about old times and junk.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, I love you guys, and I'm sorry I just can't call as much. Please tell Ruth Ann to back off a little bit.
Ooh.
Holy cow. I mean,
you need to call Ruth Ann.
Living, Ruth Ann.
Yeah.
You need to call her.
I'll give her a call.
All right.
I'm
Thanks
calling
for calling.
You, man. Don't hang up on me. I'm calling this time.
We'll see you, bud. I took all this.
Morning Jam with Janet and Mark. We are the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
This is my last attempt to make it up to my wife for not saying happy birthday when we woke up first thing this morning. Lynyrd Skynyrd, Free Bird. She said, if I go before you do, you make sure they play the long version at my funeral. She goes, I don't want no stinking 3.5 minute version of this song.
All chopped up.
I want the original long version.
Not on one of DJs talking over it either. Where he first got into radio and people would call and say, I'm making a tape. Stop talking over the front of the songs.
Go right up to the post.
Making your mixtape.
Oh, I remember. I made those mixtapes as well.
See, today's kids, they'll never understand the beauty of making a mixtape.
I got to find that tape.
It's so sad.
I've got a tape of 1988, I think. Somewhere, your buddy Tony James.
Oh,
back when he started with Q.
Okay,
it's that old.
Wow.
Yeah, I got to blow the dust off of that. Roger Hammer, you know Roger?
Sure.
Yeah, I sent him an overnight he did at WGOL. I found some stuff when I was healing from hernia surgery. I had these cassettes, and I said I'm going to digitize them someday, and I finally did because I couldn't do anything. So I got a hold of him and I said, hey, I have an overnight air check of you from like 1987. He goes, you're kidding. I sent it to him. He got a good laugh out of it.
I bet so.
He's quite a character.
Well, Representative Kat Kamick, she's the one that kind of blew the whistle on the whole border baby formula story. She is pushing back now because the Washington Post, I'm using air quotes now, fact-checked.
Yeah, okay.
Challenging her comments as she blasted the Biden administration over the baby formula shortage.
Mm-hmm.
A Washington Post fact-checker wrote a scathing piece slamming the faux outrage over the stockpiling of baby formula at the southern border. He specifically took aim at her remarks, claiming they're sending pallets of baby formula to the border. Meanwhile, in our own district, we can't find formula, as well as a joint statement from Governor Greg Abbott and the National Border Patrol Council President Judd, saying while mothers and fathers stare at empty grocery store shelves in panic, the Biden administration is happy to provide formula to illegal immigrants. Saying that her comments were a long line of reckless and out-of-touch priorities, saying that this is another reckless, out-of-touch priorities of the Biden administration.
Mm-hmm.
And they say the problem is the Biden administration's following the law.
It is now, huh?
Well, it, yeah.
Huh.
Food must be appropriate for at-risk detainees' age and capability, such as formula and baby formula. All right. He gave her comments four Pinocchios.
Well.
How can you give her four Pinocchios? Because he's saying the administration can't be faulted for following the law and providing baby formula to undocumented immigrants. That's why.
Well, I think you know you got to take care of your people first. That's just my thing. You know, we're sending an awful lot of baby formula down to the border, but yet we're I'm hearing these
stories.
Yeah,
but do you know why we're sending them down to the border and why we're legally obligated? Because he opened up our borders and created the crisis.
No, you're not listening to our Homeland Security
Secretary.
Apparently,
I'm not.
He said it's closed. It's been closed.
Mm-hmm. In a statement,
it's closed now, he said.
Kamik doubled down on her criticism, saying, well, what I just said, he created the crisis at the border, but ensured migrant children were rightfully fed, and that's wrong, no matter how much the Democrats and their cohorts in the media try to run interference for Joe and Kamala, many Americans are just fed up.
Well, Kamala's on it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The American people deserve better. They deserve to know what's happening in their country, no matter what the Washington Post or its liberal media compatriots think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm on her side. So that's ridiculous. The only reason we have this crisis, either of the crisis, is because of them.
Right. Well, Kamala's on the job again, just getting things worked out. This is her yesterday. I want you to count how many times she says either worked out or working on it.
Word salad. Yummy, yummy, yummy.
34 seconds long. You can endure it.
That is especially true when it comes to the climate crisis, which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action. With that, I thank you all. This is a matter of urgent priority for all of us, and I know we will work on this together.
Five times in 30 seconds.
34 seconds, but what the heck? What's another 4 seconds?
That's one more work together.
She's working it.
She said absolutely nothing.
And said nothing.
I mean, what question did she answer?
It was about climate change.
We're working together. We're working together. We're working on it. Working on it. Working on it.
Did you notice she stopped herself, though? Here, listen one more time. She stops herself because she just realized, I've been saying working together 3 times already.
That is especially true when it comes to the climate crisis, which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work.
And she stopped herself right there. Like, Oh, even I sound stupid.
Right. That's right. Right
to myself.
Either that or her handler zapped her wrist. I think that new bracelet is really a shock therapy device.
Yeah, it could be.
Stop saying work together. Boom. Stop saying moving forward. Boom.
They said if she was reading that off the teleprompter, everybody needs to be fired on that staff.
And stop saying that you're trying to get to the core of the problem.
What a disaster,
you know,
she has
like
been.
Snap your rubber band.
You know, I mean, Elizabeth Warren is just counting the days down. She's running again. If she doesn't, she's stupid. Because, I mean,
how is that even going to work? What an embarrassment.
If she runs for president, they have to loop her running through that parking lot like a mad woman over abortion. And screaming at the top
of
her lungs.
She looks unhinged.
She looked unhinged there. And okay, so is this what you're going to do in the White House? Is this going to lead the country? You know, we've gone from one guy who doesn't do anything to a crazy woman, you know.
Well, and the thing about it is, if you're going to be a leader at that capacity, you can show disdain and but you need to keep it together.
Yeah.
I mean, people need to know that someone who wants to be the leader can keep it together.
Right.
And she clearly cannot.
Right.
We've got Kimberly McBroom on the way here in just a few
minutes.
She'll
keep it together.
She will keep it together. And we'll take a look at your forecast. There is some warm temperatures coming our way.
I know.
And some thunder showers as well. So,
hey, I cut my grass yesterday, so that's all I care about right now. I mean, it was 18 inches tall. My little 22...
Did it go...
Inch mower was stalling constantly, saying, what are you doing? Go to the farm tractor place and get a bush hog.
Stop abusing me. That's probably what it was thinking, for sure. We'll also announce our winner to come to the table.
Yes.
Coming up here very shortly.
Absolutely.
It's 56 degrees in Bedford, 59 in Lynchburg, 57 in Roanoke and Salem, 54 in Danville, 57 in Appomattox, where Virginia State Police have released some new details about last week's deadly collision involving a moped and SUV in Appomattox County. According to authorities, at about 4:21 p.m. on Tuesday, May the 10th, state troopers responded to a two-vehicle crash on Route 460. That's near a quarter of a mile west of Spruce Road. They say a 2016 Yamaha moped was heading east in the right lane of Route 460 when it was rear-ended by a 2019 Jeep Grand Cherokee. The operator of the moped, identified as 68-year-old James Cress of Pamplin, was not wearing a helmet, was thrown from the moped, and died at the scene. Meanwhile, the driver of the Jeep, 26-year-old Chesley Tanner of La Crosse, was wearing a seatbelt, was not injured in the crash, according to authorities. Virginia State Police are pending in connection with the charges are pending in connection with the ongoing investigation into the deadly crash.
In recent days, active violence in the United States has left dozens of people dead and injured. In Lynchburg, one community, one voice is committed to preventing the violence from entering our community. That's why the summer series Enough rallies are scheduled to make their return beginning this week. It's important to push ahead the idea that we can get along. That's according to James Cam. He's a pastor. We've had him here. He's from One Community, One Voice, and hoping to line him up for another interview, Janet, so we can bring him in to talk about this particular Enough rally series that apparently they've done before, because they're saying they're bringing it back out again. So we'll see what we can do about doing an interview with James.
Well, the BA2 subvariant of Omicron is driving another increase in COVID-19 cases in the United States. The number of new cases being reported every day is up 61% over the past 2 weeks. That according to data analysis by the New York Times. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention tracks community transmissions county by county. Its most recent map shows more U.S. counties moving into the high transmission category. High transmission is defined as the county reporting more than 100 new COVID-19 cases per 100,000 people over the past week. A reporting of higher than 10% test positive rate and about half of all the U.S. counties, 49.57 to be exact, are in the high category, according to the CDC. And it looks like Virginia is mostly in the substantial and high categories.
Wow.
So just keep that in mind. Not trying to, you know, create a panic, but just know, still be vigilant about washing your hands.
Absolutely.
And, you know, where you're going, mm-hmm. and if you're around strangers, and if you feel sick, don't go places, that kind of thing. Mark.
Well,
make sure you test, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I still have the hand sanitizer in the car. You know, a couple of pumps, boom, boom, wipe the hands, that whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, the mask thing, I still kind of, depending on where I'm at, I may still pull one out and wear one. Roanoke County earns 3 national awards. The effort, initiative, and effective county government programs meant to strengthen and service the citizens within Roanoke County received these 3, the Capital Improvement Web application, which provides citizens easy access to public data and increases government transparency, the Rural Broadband Initiative, which allows citizens to view information about the availability of broadband projects across their neighborhoods, and then the Regiment 419 Plan, which leverages public-private partnerships to develop a town center in the heart of the county's commercial corridor. According to the county's announcement, the recognitions are given in 18 categories, and this thing began in 1970. Congratulations to Roanoke County for at least getting those 3.
So we're getting lots of reports of static, particularly on the 100.9 and in and out.
Yeah.
Now might be a good time to instruct people that if that's happening, and we've notified the engineer about that.
Yeah, I did.
Is to go to your phone in your app store and just type in VTRN mm-hmm. for Virginia Talk Radio Network. And then you can download the app and mm-hmm. you'll be able to listen crystal clear.
Yep.
Anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere. And we have folks in Florida and all over the country, actually, that listen to us. And you can also pick up our Rewind 103.9 station, our station that plays 60s, a little bit of 60s, 70s and 80s primarily. And, of course, our CBS Sports station and then our Roanoke station. That's all on the VTRN app. And it is free. It won't hook you up with a big, you know, list of things that you have to do. It's a simple streaming platform. Gives you the option to go to one of those stations. And then it has a link in there on the menu to listen to our show after the fact through our SoundCloud page as well. So it's a great app to have. And again, when we're experiencing difficulties up on the mountain, you can always listen through the telephone. And if you have Bluetooth, you can listen to it through your Bluetooth device, which a lot of people have Apple Car and all that stuff. I don't. I'm doing it the old way. I have one of those cigarette lighter plug-in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Bluetooth things. It works
great. I enjoy the Apple CarPlay, not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just automatically hooks up and you're ready to go.
Yep.
So if you were going to guess what the best place to live in the United States would be as far as cities go, where would you guess?
Midwest, usually.
For a long time, it was Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
That was the reigning city for a long time. But the new city that's been ranked the best place to live for 2022-2023 is Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Boulder, Colorado got bumped down to number 4 this year.
Okay.
So it got, you know what they say, the higher you're up on the pedestal, the further you fall.
Yeah, this is true.
Another Colorado city, though, Colorado Springs, came in at number two.
Okay.
That was followed by Green Bay, Wisconsin, which jumped 18 spots to number three.
Okay.
Due primarily to its affordability.
All right.
San Jose, California, took the number five spot, leaping 31 spots from last year's ranking due to its high quality of life score. Much of the shakeup we see at the rankings, it just shows people moving across the country, putting more emphasis on affordability and quality of life than on the job market, which many ways takes back seat as remote work options become more of a standard and people can live wherever they want to.
Gotcha.
Rounding out the top 10, Raleigh and Durham, North Carolina, ranked number six, followed by Fayetteville, Arkansas, Portland, Maine, Sarasota, Florida, and San Francisco, California.
Really? I'm surprised that one
nay,
made
nay.
It.
Nay, nay.
Yeah, I'm surprised that one made it.
P.U.
Yeah.
That's a, no. I don't know where that one came.
Yeah, I don't know.
I claim voter fraud.
Yeah.
Something's not right there.
Something's absolutely not right.
Those others, I'm like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
San Francisco?
I mean, where you can, you know, walk out and step on a needle. Isn't
right.
It? San Francisco?
Yeah.
Where you step on a needle or poop, one of the two.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah.
What is wrong with you today?
What? I'm just saying, these are the facts. These are the facts of San Francisco.
Well, you created quite a visual there.
Oh, so. I'm sorry.
There
you go. Step in it again.
Yeah, literally. Or on it. I don't know how you want to look at it, but either way.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah, Sarasota, I could see. Sarasota is a beautiful city. I mean, just some of the best beaches, I think, on the west coast of Florida.
Yeah, I've seen some good.
You know, lovely. My brother Jim and his wife lived there for a number of years, so... And of course, my niece Christy, she lives in Huntsville, so she's living the good life. Now, she moved up there from Florida to open up a Publix store up in that Alabama region. Not originally in Huntsville, I think it was what was the name of the town? Went there for Thanksgiving a couple of times. It's near Huntsville, but anyway, done really well. Public stores are actually in our state now. I think they're in Richmond.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to make it throughout the whole state, but Publix,
they might.
Publix is quite a store.
Well, there's quite the Twitter war going on. We thought the Twitter wars were over when it came to President Trump, but now Elon Musk kind of threw a little shade at the president. We'll talk about that when we come back.
He wants him back on Twitter?
Well, no. He says that Elon Musk says the real president is whoever is controlling the teleprompter.
Interesting.
That's what he said. And we'll have more on that coming up.
The definition of the word jam. To pack something tightly. A machine seizing or becoming stuck. A sweet preserve made from fruit. A common sense radio talk show. The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb. The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark.
Just something about some of Madonna's music. Maybe not her singing as much, but just the poppiness.
Oh, it was fun.
Just had a good vibe to it.
It was a lot of fun.
She made lots and lots of money.
Yeah, she did. with a fairly mediocre voice. That just there's a difference in an artist and a star.
And performer.
not the same thing, necessarily.
Right. I gotcha.
Elon Musk might be considered both in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well.
His purchase of Twitter remains ongoing. He slammed President Biden in a podcast interview yesterday and warned that if the government continues printing money, inflation is going to continue to get worse, and the U.S. may very well follow the path of Venezuela.
You know what? He speaks the truth.
He does. He said he has voted overwhelmingly for Democrats. He slammed the Democratic Party and Biden in particular. He suggested Biden is a little more than an empty suit.
Mm-hmm.
The real president is whoever is controlling the teleprompter.
Man.
The path to power is the path to the teleprompter. I do feel like if somebody were to accidentally lean on the teleprompter, it's going to be more like Anchorman referencing the Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. Well.
My God, you're a magnificent man. Of course, if you haven't seen Anchorman, Ron Burgundy literally will read anything that's right on the teleprompter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter
what it is. Right.
Even if it ruins his career, he sure will read it. He says this administration also just doesn't seem to get much done.
Mm-hmm.
The Trump administration, leaving Trump aside, there were a lot of people in that administration who were effective at getting the job done.
Right.
He also claimed that the Democratic Party is overly controlled by the unions,
mm-hmm,
and by the trial lawyers, particularly the class action lawyers. He argued that when the Dems go against the interest of the people, it tends to come from the unions and the trial lawyers.
Yeah.
While when Republicans do that, it's because of corporate evil and religious zealotry.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Biden, he is simply too much captured by the unions, which was not the case with Obama, Musk said. The Tesla CEO defended Obama as quite reasonable, but insists that Biden prioritizes the unions ahead of the public.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
He just simplistically says what the deal is. He just gets it out, doesn't mince his words, doesn't waste it, says it.
He also weighed in on Amazon founder Jeff Bezos' claim that the White House has resorted to misdirection in order to muddy the topic of inflation. I mean, the obvious reason for inflation is that the government printed a zillion amount of more money than it had.
Mm-hmm.
Musk said, echoing Republican critics who claim the Biden's American Rescue Plan relief stimulus bill contributed to the nearly 40-year high inflation that we're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the government just can't issue checks far in excess of revenue without there being inflation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, velocity of money held constant, the Tesla CEO argued. If the federal government writes checks, they never bounce. So that's effectively the creation of more dollars. And if there are more dollars than the increase of the goods and services across the economy, then you have an inflation again, velocity of money held constant. It's very basic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not super complicated.
Right.
They try to make it complicated.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Interesting.
We stated before, we heard the vice president earlier. And her word salad, 34 seconds, five times, worked together. This person has risen to the top of the potential presidential possibilities for the Democrats in 2024. Our current transportation secretary, who's being asked, why has it taken so long for the president to act on this formula thing?
On Friday, seemed to say that it was new information to him. He said, if we'd been better mind readers, I guess we could have done something earlier.
Well, look, the administration acted from day one after the recall, taking steps like creating more flexibility for the WIC program to help rebalance the availability of formula in the states. There are more actions that are underway, including looking at imports. But fundamentally, we are here because a company was not able to guarantee that its plant was safe. And that plant has shut down.
But that is the federal government's job as regulators to help ensure
safety
of the plant. As
regulators, yes, but let's be very clear. This is a capitalist country. The government does not make baby formula, nor should it. Mm-hmm. Companies make formula. And one of those companies, a company which, by the way, seems to have 40% market share, messed up and is unable to confirm that a plant, a major plant, is safe and free of contamination. So the most important thing to do right now of course, is to get that plant in Michigan up and running safely. Mm-hmm. And that's the work that's going on between the company and the FDA. It's got to be safe, and it's got to be up and running as soon as possible. But this is the difference between a supply chain problem, in other words, a problem about moving goods around, and a supply problem, which has to do with whether they're being produced in the first place. Now, the administration's also been working with other companies to try to surge their production. That's led to an increase in production, which is helping to compensate. But at the end of the day, this plant needs to come back online safely.
So, and I would agree with him, but the FDA, you know, we know how red tape works in our federal government, you know.
That's right.
And now it's like, well, I don't care if we're ready. Get the dang thing going. You're making us look bad. That's my take on it.
And not only that, you've got plenty to ship down to the border.
Right. Right.
So don't tell me that it's not partially a shipping issue.
Yeah.
Distribution issue.
He has hit my BS. My meter just goes way off the chart.
He's solid though, and
he's smart. He's very articulate, and I think he will. And notice, I've got the still shot. Notice the gray coming in on the side.
More distinguished.
Hair. Yeah, more distinguished.
There you go.
Not just the mayor from that little town in Indiana. Now
we were talking about Musk and the comments he was making yesterday. One of the other things that he commented on was the state of California. And he said, you know, used to the Golden State was the land of opportunity, and now it's the land of taxes, overregulation, and litigation.
Oh, true.
He said, there's got to be a serious cleaning out of the pipes in California. He insisted that there's got to be an above 0% chance of Republicans winning in California.
Yeah.
So.
See, now he is not. Excuse me, he's not a natural born citizen, right?
Mm-mm.
So he can run for governor, though, because Arnold was governor of California.
Right.
So maybe he could run for governor. Start cleaning up the state.
I don't know. I mean, you know, there are a lot of Republicans in California, a lot, and a lot of conservatives in California. They're just outnumbered. I mean, it's just such a big state.
It is.
But it's such a mess. California is such a mess, which is why we couldn't believe San Francisco
was
made
on
that
list.
I'm like, come on.
And here's the thing. When I think about an Elon Musk or even a Donald Trump, guys that get things done. And when you get into the government system, as you well know, because you found yourself in city government wanting to get things done. And Janet, slow down a little bit. You know, this is government. We don't work at the same pace the private sector does.
I was told when I worked for local government, that if I was getting things done too fast, I was doing it wrong.
Right.
That's how I was rewarded.
Right.
If you're getting things done too fast, you know, you're not doing it right.
So imagine what that means on a federal level.
I can't even.
Yeah. So guys like Musk and Trump that want to get things done, you know, they are the bulls in the China shop because they're not going to go by the set of standards that are laid out for how government works versus the private sector. If it wasn't for tax money, the government wouldn't survive because they'd be shut down if they were part of the private sector. And I'm not saying all government people are bad or anything like that.
No,
God bless
them.
There's some good people in there, but they had their hands tied.
I felt like, for me, I felt like I was selling my soul. Because there was times that there were things that I need to do that I simply could not do. And it wasn't right. I just didn't, you know. People who can do that, though, I admire them a great deal.
Yeah, no doubt. Bill Trefiro coming up after CBS News at the top of the hour. Then Janet and I will be back. We'll have our Come to the Table Tuesday winner in the next hour.